You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org. Now, troll on in.
Well, not exactly. Today, it's like I said earlier, back to school. And every year at this time, we try to get together with one of our favorite teachers and talk about an opportunity in marine science there is. And this is put on through the auspices of the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council. Every year, we get our friend Mark Mitsuyasu in to talk story about it a little bit. And here we go. It seemed like just yesterday we're talking about this, right? We must be getting old, Mark.
No, you know, time that too. Time sure flies because gearing up for the next summer classes. Yeah.
And, you know, let's talk about that because we know that the council is a bottoms-up organization, always trying to promote from within, but there's got to be entry level somewhere. And so these kids that find out about this course are among the lucky ones because they can find out pretty early in the piece if this life or this sort of field of activity is of appeal to them.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of the program. It's part of what we call our capacity building program. Mm-hmm. So we want to try and expose the students while they're in high school to the different possible careers in fisheries.
Yeah, nothing's asked about this, right? It's just coming, you know, but it's a high-demand course.
It's a limited space course, which makes it a high-demand course. And we limit the numbers because of the places that we go to. Yeah. They get really in-depth with the professionals in the field.
Yeah, there's something about, you know, road trip that really happens in this class, right?
That's the best part about the class. And I think what makes the class go by quickly, too.
And so tell us a little bit about how you first found out about Aaron.
Aaron, well... I think we were
hosting... Remember, we're on the radio, so
the council was hosting a booth over at an event on Maui, and Aaron's part of the high school science teacher organization, and they were on Maui, and he stopped by to find out what the council's about, and from there, we kind of hit it off, and I found out he worked at Yama's Fish Market cutting fish, and I did that a while back, too, so, you know, things kind of hooked up from there.
I hate it when I go fishing now and people call, and I call up and say, I got some mai mai. And they say, is it skinned? Is it cut? Is it boned? You know, that's why you guys don't want to tell anybody what you do, right?
No.
But anyway, I think it's sort of a neat introduction because when I met Aaron a couple of years ago, when we first started doing this, a while back actually, several years, I figured, how can you do what you like and get paid and make it a career and have so many victories? So I'm going to ask you that again. Do you ever get tired of this or what?
Actually, no. I mean, I hate to say this, but the summer class for me is not work. I mean, it's fun. And I enjoy the students. And it's so different from, even though I teach marine science during the regular year, with all the field trips and people, and it's just a different, you know, entity from what I do.
Just out of curiosity, when you teach during the year, at what period of the day or what time is your class usually?
Oh, it runs all day. So our our school has... 7 periods, so it could be anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could be in the morning, could be in the middle of the afternoon. But it's just, you know, in a normal class, I have 28 students.
Right, right.
And you can't really do anything in that short time or go on field trips. But in this class, you know, we try and limit it to maybe between 17 and 20 students.
Which is
great. And, you know, like Mark said, we transport them around and we get to know them real good because we're driving them around in
vans.
Well,
you know, but the thing is, there's a history now, right? And this has been going for a while. And you already have some pretty good ideas and pretty good placements where people have actually gone on to study, done the right thing. What I guess is, bottom line, is what you hope for with every student, right? Wow, this guy or this gal, they get it. And we want them to go do something with their life.
Yeah? Right. That would be ideal if, you know, they wanted to go into some kind of career in fisheries. But... as long as the students, you know, have fun and they learn a lot and pass it on. I mean, that's the main thing. Like, you know, a lot of these kids will talk to their friends and family and they educate them about stuff that we do. So for me, that's, you know, exciting too.
So the program is called the Marine Science Course on Fishery and Resource Management. It's not just about the fish.
Nope. It's about everything you know, everybody involved in fishing in Hawaii. So.
Okay. And usually when we talk about this, we talk about somebody that was there in a previous year or is looking forward to going through there for the first time. We have a couple of veterans with us today, a couple of young gals. Tell us a little bit about Susie and Yejin. Aaron,
they were.
Yeah, you get to brag about them. Because I know they're not going to brag. Know that.
No, they're super girls. Yeah. Actually, I knew them from my science club that I run. We're part of the Sierra Club, High School Hikers. And from there, you know, I knew that they enjoy the outdoors and they enjoy fishing and stuff. So kind of got them to take the summer course last year, and I think they had a really good time.
We're going to let you know in a few minutes how you can look into this at wpconsul.org and other things. But when you say the summer course, this is a set period. Is there one per year or two?
Just one.
Just one. When is it this year?
This year it runs from June 13th through July 16th. And the students will sign up through Mauna Loa High School's summer school program, and they would get a marine science credit.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, let's find out a little bit. First, since you're sitting on the far side, Susie, what was your first exposure to this? Did you know somebody else that went to it, or was the word out on campus that this might be a cool thing? How did you find out about it?
I was with my cousin when she suddenly asked me, hey, did you hear about the summer program with marine science?
And you said no?
Yeah, I didn't even know it existed. Uh-huh. I thought summer school was for math or PE or something. Yeah.
If you were bad during the year, you got to go to summer school, get your math right.
Yeah. And I thought that taking it during the summer would be not worth it because who would want to go to school during the summer?
Yeah, of course. But except wait a minute. Every single kid, because I know that's how I was when Aaron was little and Mark was little, it's how they were. Summer's really great for the first several weeks. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's, I either want to go back to school or I want something to do. Mm-hmm. So you were able to have summer and school.
Yeah. All at the same time. And it was amazing. I'm glad that I found out through my cousin. Yeah. She found out through her friends. And I thought they were crazy for wanting to go to school during the summer.
Okay, so you're a junior right now. Mm-hmm. So that means you have another year. And it's way too early to say, what do you want to be when you grow up? But was there opportunity to learn? Is there anything in this whole area, this whole arena, that I might like to do?
Oh, definitely. I go through a lot of careers. Like, I try to think of lots of careers that I want to do
when
I
grow up. That's really good.
Yeah. And joining this program was really eye-opening because I was considering going into the marine biology field in college and just thinking about all my options.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's great. And I can remember, and before we introduce you to Yejin, remember, Mark, when we were younger and getting career guidance, most of the time you wanted to pick out something and you wanted to do it for 30 years, get your wristwatch and retire. And now look, everybody, even at the council, you guys wear so many hats. So now it's encouraged that you get a lot of stuff, right? That you widen your experience.
I think the more experiences you have, you know, you end up in a happier place.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you not only learn about what you like, but you really learn fast what you don't like.
Yeah, but you know, also, Aaron, from the teacher's standpoint, when you get somebody that's all fired up in an area that you have expertise, do you sometimes cross your fingers and say, this kid's really got it. I hope they stick with it.
Oh, yeah. I think it's always, real gratifying for teachers when students, really enjoy something that you're passionate about, too. But let me first say that I'm no expert. I actually enjoy learning every year from the class just as much as the students do who come in.
You say that, and I say that in some areas that I work in, and that may be true, but you are a facilitator. And so the interesting thing to me is that you find out what the kid wants to learn and then what they need to learn.
Yeah, so that's the key. Definitely, right? I mean, I'm joking, but it's a passion. So I think as long as my passion can rub off on some of the students, then, you know, that's really a good thing.
Okay, so Yejin Chung is a senior, and she's going off to college for the next step. Same thing to you, Yejin. How did you first find out about this, and what was your expectations in the beginning, and then as you went through it, what did you learn?
Well, I found out about this program through Mr. Yoshioka. He was my science club advisor, and I had known a few kids who had taken his class before, and they all told me it was the best summer of their lives.
I was going to say, did they really, forget about the fact that teacher's in the room, but did they really say that and say, hey, you know, if you can do this, do that, because maybe I was skeptical, maybe I didn't think much about it, but boy, it was not just fun, but I learned a lot.
Well, my air riflery captain, he had taken Mr. Yoshioka's class before, and he had said that it was the best summer of his life, and that if I had the chance, that I should definitely do it.
Yeah, and there's only a few pukas for this, by the way, this June. And I do know that, you know, we don't want anybody to be disappointed. But the program itself is, I guess, self-limiting so that Aaron can do his thing and really concentrate on it. Did you feel that? I mean, for instance, in this past, in the one that you went to last summer, what was maybe one of the big highlights for one of your road trips?
One of our road trips, obviously the biggest highlight was the end of the class trip to Molokai.
To Molokai, right? Yeah.
But even before then, our early morning trips to the fish auction. That was really interesting. Yeah. I saw fish bigger than me and fish I've never seen in my whole entire life. So that was really, really
interesting. I'm really glad to hear him say that, Mark, because as you know, I've taken thousands of people through that auction. You know, yeah, and I'm the same way. And, you know, when little kids and big kids got to touch the eye of an opa or see a shark or something like that, it really made their day. But you know, I think maybe, Aaron, if we take a look at one of the things like Molokai, Molokai at Momomi and other places, they're getting into community-based management. And there's more and more places, high-end on Kauai, places on the Big Island. And is it an eye-opener? Do these kids really learn, hey, wow, we can't just keep taking one thing out of this resource and expect it to be sustaining?
Yeah, I think it's really eye-opening for them, especially just to go to, and we have been to Haena before, and just, I think, to just meet the people, and to meet the people and see that, you know, for them, it's not just about conservation as a buzzword you learn in school, but it's food. I mean, it really
is. Yeah, it really is. You know, that's why, Mark, we often see her when we have the Fishers Forums, and some of these folks come and say, hey, that's my icebox. And it really is, isn't it, in many cases.
Yes, in a lot of these communities, they depend on that.
What I think is important, though, if they learn through this at wpcouncil.org, you can also learn that these management groups represent everybody. It's not just strictly the people on that beach. There's scientists, there's people, there's visitors. In other words, it's a pretty good cross-section of the society that takes a look at this community-based management.
Right, everybody's involved. Yeah, yeah. And I think that's part of the key to having a successful program is to have as many people involved as possible. Yeah.
Okay, so both you gals, I guess, Susie and Yejin are Oahu kids in the beginning. Did you meet some kids your age during this on the Neighbor Islands?
Neighbor Islands?
I mean, for instance, when you went to Molokai, had you been there before?
No.
Because a lot of people, you know, that would have been their first trip. That was your first trip.
Mm-hmm.
Could you relate to when they were talking about the fishery being not just a nice thing to have, but a kind of a mandatory thing to have? They need the fish.
Oh yeah. I don't think we could live without it.
Yeah, yeah. And I know, I think, Yejin, you probably have an opinion on that too. Does it sink in when you're actually there and you see it?
It really does, because even when we were younger, my grandpa used to fish, and so I know how important it is, because sometimes he would bring home fish to eat, and so it wasn't just like a hobby or anything. Yeah. It was really a necessity for him.
Yeah, and Mark, you know, we talk about that a lot of times. Maybe there's a lawyer that's on his way home from work. He has a collapsible whipping rod in his trunk, right? And he sees the water is right. Boom, he goes to try to catch a couple of fish. But where you really have to respect the people that we're talking about through the council is that we want you to fish. We want you to eat. But we also want you to make sure that you use everything that you take out of the ocean. Otherwise, put it back.
Right. Yeah. Don't waste. Yeah. Yeah. Be responsible. Be respectful, too.
I kind of think, Aaron, that in one respects, you're more lucky than me and Mark, because I'm thinking that a lot of the kids, by the time they get into your science classes, they're already kind of living green. This the whole Millennium group and following that, aren't you think that they're a little bit more conservative and resource protective than we were?
Honestly, I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think as far as like hydro flasks and stuff, they're a lot better, you know, like they don't just drink water bottles every day. But other than that, I mean, I don't know. I don't really know if they think about every little thing that they do and the impact that they have.
I do know one thing, and this I'm sure you can reflect on. We'll ask both our girls this. Is that on the Neighbor Islands, they're a little bit more resourceful. In other words, they know if they're growing something in the yard, when to eat it. And they know also where to get stuff that's not in stores. I mean, well, look at us. We're so lucky. We just go into Safeway and do what do you want. Just fill up your cart, go home and eat.
Well, I think one of the things that we want to concentrate on this year with our class is a lot of this non-point source type of damage to the fishery. I think a lot of people always sadly look at decline of fish and blame fishermen. But we want our students to know that it has a lot to do with development and, you know, pollution and other things as well.
I kind of tell you one thing. We've all been seeing lately, and I'll ask the girls about this too, this huge marine debris waste field that's out there and some of these things that are so discouraging because, you know, if you just have a straw, you think, how can this be a problem? But when you see 10 million of them in one place, it is a problem, isn't it?
Right. So
I was right about the flask.
I was just telling my class that, you know, when I used to do beach cleanups, the number one thing I used to pick up on the beach was cigarette butts.
Yeah.
And no one's
now
smoking.
It's no longer cool to smoke, right?
But it's not like those cigarette butts are coming from people smoking on the beach. They all came from the freeways.
Yeah.
People toss them on the side and you got thousands of butts and they get in the storm drains and wash back up on the beach.
I got to tell you something. Before I quit smoking, which was in 98, so I'm a true non-smoker. The girls weren't born, you know, so I mean, that tells you how long I stopped smoking. But I think it was interesting because I used to see every now and again somebody in a parking lot. They would lean over out of their car and they would empty their ashtray, right? Because it was full in the car. So they put it on the ground and that, of course, right into the ocean. Yeah. So we don't have to ask our girls if they smoke because I'm guessing they don't. But that being said, I still want to get back to this because I don't want anybody to think that just because we're having fun, Susie, for you first, that if this is a big party. You guys had to, I mean, the learning experience was good, but was it taxing on you? Did you really have to work at it to do well in it?
I think the way we got to experience everything ourselves, mm-hmm. they let us do, like, they let us touch certain things where in, like, a regular class, you could only see videos about it.
Okay. Yeah.
So having that experience, it was a lot more easier, like, in my opinion, to soak in the information and learn new things and apply it to whatever I could.
Mm-hmm.
And just in general, I thought this class, I learned a lot of things, and I felt like I didn't have to put in too much effort in and struggle to keep along.
Okay, that's what I was getting at, because you don't want to go to something that's so hard that you're exhausted when you get home, unless it's a good kind of exhaustion, right? Unless you've had some sort of workout. Have you changed or re-guided any of your current electives based on what you learned and where you might want to be going yet? Or is that something you're looking at next year? When does that come up?
We already signed up for the classes next year, mm-hmm. and I feel that since I've already taken marine biology, like the closest thing I could take was biology, and I'm already taking that this year.
Yeah.
And we only have like so many courses that could help us get into that career or whatever career we're thinking about. So what I have on my plate for next year, it's not in that direction,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still very open to
That's good. And I think that would probably be, Aaron, what you want people to do is start using their thought process a lot. Okay, why do I want to do this? I mean, do I really need this or do I need this instead of something else?
Yeah, I mean, I think our program, you know, opens their eyes to a lot of different things. So, you know, I don't want students out there to think, oh, I have to be a marine biologist. I mean, they could be an artist. They could be a chef.
They could be a fish cutter, anything.
Yeah.
Okay, what about new, Yejin, because you're out the door. Where are you considering at this point? I know it's really hard, but I know that you must have a lot of poles in the water. Where do you want to go to school?
I've actually already committed, and I'm going to be staying on this island at UH Manoa.
Wow, that's great.
And I think this class actually had a big part in that, because through this class, we learned so much about our island, about our home.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the fisheries. The fisheries link to the businesses, the small businesses, the big businesses. And so I actually feel like I have a lot to learn about my home still.
Good
and
for
so
you.
I decided to stay here for a few more years.
What part of town are you going to be living in? Or are you living in?
I have to dorm, so I'll be living in Manoa.
Okay. Oh, that's not bad, because it won't be a train ride.
Mm-hmm.
You can bike it or do something to get down there. I think maybe, Aaron, going back here, I want people to understand. And by the way, if you're just joining us, Aaron Yoshioka is a science teacher at Moanalua High School. And what he's doing at this time of the year is he puts on, through the auspices of the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council, the council, at wpcouncil.org, They back this thing up with goods and services and a commitment to make this marine fishery and resource management class of value. And I guess so far, if you could have picked a couple of kids to bring with you, and that it's not that they're saying the right things, but I'm guessing that that's the reaction you want to get from somebody. When they're through, they're saying, boy, I'm glad I learned that. But we haven't really told people how this course runs. It starts on the 13th. What is the basic daily stuff, and how's that progression?
So in the beginning, I know the students laugh because it is a little bit more like summer school, where we have a lot of classroom things.
Mm-hmm.
And we try and give them, because we have to assume that the students really know nothing. So we try and give them the background of the fishery and, mm-hmm. and what it is and WestPac and everything. And we have, I'm
lucky. Eye-opener up for a lot of the kids, right?
I'm lucky because I don't even think they know things exist. But I'm lucky in that we bring in all kinds of guest speakers from the state, NOAA, to come in and speak and provide their area of expertise. So the students, I think, are very lucky.
Yeah, and that, Mark, is probably, I'm sure, why the council is so invested in this program, because, just going through the council, wpcouncil.org, that's an eye-opener. I mean, once kids go to that, or anybody, teachers, once they go to that site, they learn, wow, I want to tell my class about this. So it must be producing the result, because you guys just keep coming up to bat for this.
Yeah, it's been a benefit for the council. And some of the kids who have gone through, continue through college, we keep in touch with some of them. We have one of the boys who's graduating, this year from HPU, who's coming back around. And we're looking, and we work with him on some contract work and whatnot. So there's some retention with regards to capacity building.
But Aaron, now we're going to start running through the day. And I also had on the program, and we talked to at the forum, some of the folks from CNMI and other places, that their mecca is Hawaii. They want to come here and learn what they can to take it back to the villages and back to their islands. This is kind of a way that maybe some of our young people can say, I want to go to those places and I want to take what I've learned. So walk us through so it's books for the first few days.
Yeah, it's not really books. I mean, there is some, but like I said, it's mostly, guest speakers and these speakers are really good. They know they're dealing with students, so a lot of their activities and things that they do are hands-on. And then afterwards, we just kind of go into this road trip every day. I mean, I think last year we had 15 days straight of field trips.
Oh, boy.
Including our,
I want to, hey, Mark, we're missing the boat. He gets to have all the fun stuff, right?
I mean, it's just road trip. And what's really neat is, once we start going on the field trips is when I think the students get really close, with each other personally. Yeah, yeah. And that's when they make their friends, because you're sitting in a van riding around for hours a day.
Right?
And you got to sit next to the person next to you, right? So
The difference is, are most of the students from Wanalua?
We usually have about half and then, students from elsewhere. So last year we had all kinds. We had, homeschooled students.
I remember we had students a couple of those. University High. We had one of the homeschools once here.
Right.
That was great. Yeah.
Yeah. So in fact, the student that Mark was mentioning, Zach, he actually was one of the few who flew over from the Big Island to take our class.
Right. Okay. Now that being said, when for those that don't know how this operates, Mark, we got to remind everybody what the council is. It's a semi, autonomous.
It's a quasi-federal organization created by Congress.
Yeah.
So we develop fishery policies to manage U.S. fisheries in the Pacific Islands.
I'm guessing that this investment into the young folks and through Aaron's program is to prepare people for the actual learning how wide the fishery that we're talking about is.
Right, the spectrum.
Yeah, it's huge.
And, you mentioned in the beginning about the grassroots and bottom-up, because, our council members are also community members.
Sure.
So half of the council comes from the community. And so perhaps in the future, one of these days, some of these kids who have come through this system will participate at the council level.
Okay, so I'm still guessing, though, Aaron, that the tweaks and the changes to the program is what you take care of, because it's your gig. What responsibilities, what sort of management, if you will, is there from the council on you? Are you pretty autonomous?
No, I definitely couldn't do it with Mark and the council. Not only do they sponsor us, but we're super lucky that many of their council workers not only come into the class, but they're so hands-on where they help us with all kinds of stuff, their manpower. Like when we go on the trip, we have people who need to chaperone.
Sure.
One year we had a fishing tournament, so their folks came down and helped us, weigh the fish, and some of them brought their kids, and we get a lot of support. I mean, it's not just the money, it's everything.
When you first got it together and started going, for those that don't know, how long is this? How many years have we been doing this?
I think it's maybe 11 years already.
Because I can't remember, Mark, but I think we came in pretty early in it. We've been giving this coverage for a long time. And the thing that I know most about it is most people don't know about it. So they can go to the web, wpcouncil.org, and look at it. But what are the requirements for somebody to be a part of this?
Actually, there's not much requirements because we waive a lot of the prerequisites for normal marine science during our school year. So we're basically just looking for high school students, you know, who's going to be in 10th through 12th grade. And they basically, like I said, just have to sign up through the, you know, summer school, but they have to clear it with me. And so they have to fill out some forms and, you know, write a short essay and things like
that. What if any costs are involved? And is there a way that you can get, if a kid needs it, can get some help with that?
Actually, our summer school cost is $190. Mm-hmm. And
that's cheap.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
For 5 weeks.
Yeah, no kidding.
So it's $190.
I'm going. Mark, we go. You know.
Yeah. And like I said, they get a science credit.
Yeah.
But I do have someone this year who I'm very lucky. And she has generously, you know, I guess, volunteered where if we have students who maybe need help with the $190 right. That, you know, she said that she would support them. So like I said, we have even just normal members in the community out there who find out about our class and they want to help.
Okay, I want to ask Susie and Yejin this, because I do know that it's one thing to be here and to be doing this stuff, Susie, but I'm interested in what your peers thought. Maybe, first of all, supportive family. Would people say, what are you doing? What are you taking that for? And then now then, whoa, you're so lucky you got to take that.
Oh, yeah. Actually, for the first few weeks, I would not stop talking about it because it was
enough
so
already.
Fun.
Susie, enough already.
Yeah, but there has been times when my mom has been like, you have to stop talking about that. I'm tired of it. I've worked in a sushi shop. I know how this works.
Yeah, yeah.
And as soon as school started, I'm like trying to promote this class to my friends. I'm like, guys, you need to take this class. Yeah, yeah. You're not going to regret it. Like, it's so worth your money and time. And I actually got some of my friends to join for this year.
Well, I can tell you, the money, I want to tell you, it's kind of a joke. You know what I mean? If you had somebody babysit each one of you for an hour a day for the whole summer, it'd be more money than this, you know? Yeah. So that, and it wasn't about the money at all, but it's about the level of enthusiasm. What I'm thinking is when a young person goes to school and comes home and is fired up about what they did, they made the right choice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, lucky to be. Same thing with you, Yejin. You did this just once?
Just once.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Aaron, only most kids do it. I do know that you've had some come back, but not, it's not common, right?
No, actually, we have nobody come back.
Oh, is that right?
It's a one-time deal. Okay. Yeah. But it's funny because these two girls just today were telling me, can we take it again?
Nah, you know. So, but, I mean, the same thing. I mean, what did... Did it turn? Did you get the support that you thought, or were people as interested as you would have hoped that they would have been in what you're doing?
Of course, my friends were a little upset that I was gone for half the day half the summer, but I was here with my cousin Susie. So even when everyone else was tired of me talking about fish and everything I did that day, I could always rely on her and I could talk to her. And of course, I also made some new friends.
Good.
And so I was able to talk to them, get their insight, and I'm still close to many of them today, and we were just talking about how much we would have loved to take this class again.
Yeah, I think that's great, and I can see, Mark, that when you hit a home run, the council has a lot of things that they experiment with. There have been, in my tenure with the council, which has been many years now, there's some things that were happening in the very beginning that are gone, and there are things that weren't around now that are, but this seems to be kind of like backbone stuff for the summer, right?
Yeah, this is automatic now. Yeah. It's worked out really well for us, and seems the kids really get a lot of out of it, so and we got a good partnership with Aaron and Waterloo School.
You know, that's the other part of it, Aaron. Let's talk about that, because your commitment, we already know. And I don't want to embarrass you or make you feel bad. We know how much energy and time that you put into this. But talk about your host, the school. I mean, they have to do a lot of help. They got to help you guys out with a lot of things.
Yeah, well, definitely. Yeah. You know, it starts with our principal, Robin Martin, and down in our VPs and everybody who runs summer school and giving us the support. You know, they have to okay all of our field trips and And so, you know, every once in a while, I got to butter them up. So when we get fish, give them some Pokeballs.
Automatic.
It's all good. Where are you going next?
There's somebody asked me after we did the show last year, in this day of a litigious society, which we all are, I do know that liability and everything else is a big issue. So I'm sure that these kids folks have got to say, okay, we know that there's going to be this, that, and the other thing. Let's not have this an opportunity for somebody to retire on. Let's make sure that we stay safe. So you must spend a lot of time on that, not just vehicularly, but when you got them on a boat or an airplane.
Oh, no, I'm really lucky in that we have another person who helps out, Mark Lee, who is a retired assistant fire captain. So whenever we do water activities or anything, he's our safety officer.
That's great. Yeah. And, you know, I can't tell you that, Mark, how often that is, because, as you know, we're all down at POP all the time, and upstairs, life after marine safety, I saw a young kid going up there, which were these girls' age, a young girl and her boyfriend, and they were buying the father an EPIRB because he didn't have the money, number one. And number two, that's the last thing he would have done, is bought himself a piece of safety group. But the kids knew to buy it.
That's awesome. There was a email that I just got today from American Samoa, one of their double hull Alias down there. Yeah, I guess it flipped about a day and a half ago. They were drifting.
Oh, boy.
It so happens that they had
what
an
did they
EPIRB.
Have? They had an
EPIRB.
Yeah, yeah.
And water activated. The Coast Guard found them. But they were in the water for a day and a half.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so those things.
And, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Safety is important.
Yeah, and that being said, I do know that when you guys, Aaron, when you go to on the field trip, or especially when you see boats, the kids must really want to light up and say, I had no idea how much stuff these boats had on. They must feel that way, because don't you guys get to take a look at a vessel or two when you're doing the auction?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, one of the things we have them do is go on a longline boat, and I think the number one eye-opening thing for them is not so much all the safety equipment, but that fishing is a hard life.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
It really
is
hard.
There's no easy days on
a
longline.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of the students would never, ever want to be a fisherman. So we got to give them credit and thank these fishermen for every time you eat your poke bowl.
Absolutely. And Susie and Eugene, I just got to guess this. When you had that experience to go on the longline boat, you probably thought in the very beginning before you got on, this is a pretty big boat. When you get on it and you see how cramped it is, and then you find out that you're going to be most of the time 600 miles away from land, it must think, did you want to go?
Well, we had a class of over 15 people, and so being on that boat with all of them,
all 15,
we barely had room to talk, room to breathe.
Exactly.
And so I really found an appreciation for all the people who work on that boat, because they stay out for months and months at a time. Yeah. So
some of them do in our fleet. But I got to tell you, I want to know if you had a renewed appreciation to share with other people that didn't have the opportunity to go to this course. Just how much went into getting that piece of poke or that slab of ahi on a plate?
So my friends were all obsessed with poke bowls because we all live.
Oh yeah, everybody loves poke bowls now, right?
And so every time we eat them, I'm like, this says freshly caught from Hawaii. Do you know how hard that is? I went on that boat. It's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, you know what, Mark? You couldn't be more pleased, right, to see this, because we talk about this all the time. Yeah. And if you go to WPCouncil.org, you look at the auction, you look at this thing, and you look at all of the hassles that these longline boats go through. But it must be an eye-opener when you see these young folks say, holy smokes, this is rough.
Hey, the appreciation factor.
Yeah.
Their eyes get open.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, it's wonderful.
I guess, Mark, I want to make sure that people sort of get an idea, not only how they can maybe apply for the few slots that are remaining, but walk us through the rest of it. You said initially your first, your first several courses are class oriented, but it's a long course. It starts, so you actually need not just somebody to be available, but they have to make it a commitment to be available on those days. 6/13 through?
It's June 13th through July 16th. Yes.
Yeah, that's
and
like,
so it's a long day. I mean, we start at 9 and usually end about between 3 and 4, depending on if we have field trips or not. And so like I said, in the beginning, maybe first week and a half is class. And then, and we try and, scrunch everything in so that we try and make it as efficient as possible.
How cool is it and when they come back from a road trip and go back into the classroom to discuss what happened on the road trip?
Yeah, well, actually, like I said, they really enjoy it. I mean, the students love on the field trips, So the middle of the class is more field trips towards the end. And then we've been being fortunate enough for the last, I don't know how many years, to end up as a culminating activity to take the students off island.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. So there's chaperones, there's everything is in the right place. And, let's go back to Susie and Yejin before we finish up the segment. Let's talk about the aftermath, Susie, of once you did this. I'm guessing that some of your friends were a little bit jealous, and some of them said, wow, how did you do that? How did you make that big commitment? It's over a month.
Well, it did feel empty after it ended.
Yeah, good for you.
My summer was full of
this class and marching band, and I thought that marching band would take over my entire life. But
what instrument, by the way?
Oh, clarinet.
Clarinet. Okay. Yeah, it was a tuba. I lasted like 2 weeks. 2 weeks, I was out of the band. Right. Yeah.
Well, after this class, I thought that it's gonna be fine. I have marching band. Summer's still gonna be fun. But after, I was just so upset because we can't take it anymore. Yeah, and anytime we want to think back about it, it's just a memory now.
So what we're getting from you is home run. That if anybody's hearing it, and because right now, I don't know how many kids are listening to the program, because, I don't know what I'd do on a Saturday if I was your age, but I can tell you that their parents and grandparents, they might be saying to their grandson or granddaughter, hey, or their daughter or son, you better take a look at this. We think it's pretty cool. And it's $190. It's a really good deal. What about you? I didn't learn until after we got into it, Yejin, that you guys were cousins, because I wasn't looking at the fact that you both have the same last name. Now I got it all figured out. But same thing, because, I mean, is the family real close? You all real near each other? Or are your friends and Susie's friends in sometimes different circles?
We don't have the same friends, but we do live a block away.
Oh, okay.
And through this program and through many of the clubs at our school, we have similar friends. Mm-hmm. So our friends, especially the ones we have in Science Club, we always tell them about this program every single time we have an event or something. Honestly, I think they're a little bit tired of us or a little bit jealous.
But that's good, because I guess Aaron Yoshioka, you couldn't get a couple of better salespeople, right? You get the chung girls out there telling you how it's time to get in.
Like I said, I'm lucky to have them, in our class, but in our club as well. And I have a lot of great students that we've known for many years.
Okay, one thing that I'd like to do, Mark, is let's do a wrap-up after the July 16th, the POW date, sometime in the month of August. Let's do a recap while it's still fresh in the mind. And maybe, Aaron, you can bring in a greenie, somebody that's just getting off a trip.
Well, we'll get a chance to bring in some students who we had this year, and maybe they can share some of their experiences.
And by the way, is it mostly mixed, gender mixed? I mean, is it mostly
the same amount of guys and girls? Last year, we might have had more girls, I think, last year.
There's plenty of room in the fishery for girls, especially captains.
Oh, yeah.
They take no
anything.
And they keep the boat clean.
Yeah, they're the organized ones.
Okay, bottom line, if somebody wants to find out about this, Aaron, how do they do that?
You can email me at MIKI_YOSH.
MIKI underscore
YOSH.
YOSH.
At yahoo.com.
At Yahoo.
Or you can give me a call. My cell number is
227-8493. And I know that none of you have wrote any of this down, but I did. And so I'll have it. If you want to know more, email me, themikebuckshow@gmail.com. themikebuckshow@gmail.com. Okay, Susie and Yejin, you guys both pass. We'll give you an A on your report card. Thank you. And thank you for sharing your stories. You're delightful young ladies. And good luck. Hope you end up in this business we call the big fishery, okay? And teach, we'll see you right after the 16th of July.
Okay, great. Thanks for having
us. Mark, you can go back and tell everybody at the console they got another home run coming up for this year, right?
Line them up.
Yep. And if you want to hear something on the program, you know what to do. Email me, themikebuckshow@gmail.com. themikebuckshow@gmail.com. Our thanks to the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council for doing this segment. Take a look at, by the way, if you want to learn more, go to my column, The Buck Stops Here in Hawaii Boats and Yachts this month. It's talking about taking care of your boat, taking care of your fish. So we'll see you next time.